I do not trust the modern versions. I know too much about them. I know too much about the people behind them. And so we're going to focus a little bit tonight on why we trust and only trust the King James Bible. If you would, turn in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 30. We're going to go over a few verses here to kind of get us started. Proverbs chapter 30, it tells us some things about the our Bible. And I like, there are so many statements in the Bible about the Word of God and what we can trust and how to trust it and why we should trust it. And it, here in Proverbs chapter 30, when you find it, let's stand. We're going to read that passage. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Verses 5 and 6. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love and mercy. And Lord, we thank You for being so good to us. And Lord, we cannot thank You too much for this blessed book. Lord, it's given birth to so many multitudes and multitudes of souls. Lord, it gives us stability, it gives us strength, it gives us the weapon that we need to defeat the devil when he comes against us. And Lord, there's so much about the Word of God that we need. And Lord, we thank You that every word of God is pure. Not most of them, not some of them, but every single one. Thank You, Lord, for loving us. Thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for the Son of God. Thank You for Your Spirit. Without all the things You've put together, we couldn't have gotten saved. Lord, we ask You to move in a special way. And keep the preacher out of the way and teach us some strong, stable things about Your Word. For it's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. A lot of people don't understand why we're so adamant about the King James Bible. But I want you to remember something. When you look at the very first time Satan comes on the scene in the Word of God is in Genesis chapter 3. And what does he do? He attacks the Word of God. He comes to Eve and he says, "Hath God said?" The very first question, the first thing that he does is he questions the Word of God. So we're going to go over some passages here, and this is by no means an exhaustive study, because if we really wanted to go into an exhaustive study, it would take way too long, because the King James Bible has 64,000 words more than the NIV. About 812,000 words in the King James Bible. And every word of God is pure. It's right where it needs to be. It's exactly the word that God wanted to use. There is no doubt, no question whatsoever. That's one of the blessings that you and I have. And I believe personally that the reason English has become the world language is because God's working it that way because of the King James Bible. He wants people. Can you imagine how many languages there are out there? Every once in a while, I'll go to Chick's website, Chick Publications website, and I'll look at their languages, and they provide a lot of different languages, but they're nowhere near. I've heard it said that they have over 2,000 just dialects in India alone. Now try to learn all those languages. Isn't it interesting that all these languages, all these countries are trying to work it out to learn English? I have led parents to Christ that have never, do not understand English. You say, well, how'd you do that? Their children go to school. And you lead their children to, and I had about an 8-year-old girl. And I was at the door one time, and her mom was standing there, and I had the girl communicate back and forth with the gospel. I asked the mom, is it okay if I share the Bible with your daughter? Little girl asked the mom in Spanish. It took a while to get everything back and forth. And then I got to a point where the little girl wanted to get saved. And I had the little girl ask mom if she wanted to get saved. And she said, both of them said yes. And I told the little girl, I said, now this is what I want you to do. I want you to tell your mom to repeat the prayer, but it has to come from her heart. She has to call on Jesus from her heart. But when you repeat it, I'm going to give it to you in English. I can't give it to you in Spanish. But I'm going to give it to you in English. This is an 8-year-old girl. But I want, when you pray it, I want you to pray it in Spanish so your mom can repeat it and she gets saved too. Both of them got saved that day. But how much nicer would it be if everybody spoke the same language? Well, we know that's not going to happen right yet. Probably wait until heaven before that happens. But anyway, we're going to go over some of these passages and compare them. And I want you to see that a lot of the changes in the Bibles from the King James Bible to the modern versions, and it does not matter which one you use. Okay? The New King James Bible has no relationship to King James whatsoever. Okay, it didn't even come from the same manuscripts. So these are some things that we're going to look over. And this is a handout. I gave it to you. Look at the first one. It says, why did Jesus come to earth? Luke 9:56 says, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. And the next verse below that says, Matthew 18:11, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Now look at what the other verse, the NIV says. The same verse, it says, and they went to another village. They omitted the entire statement, the bold statement there that says, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy lives, but to save them. Why would they do that? I've got news for you. There's a sinister plot behind the modern versions. And look at verse Matthew 18:11. The whole verse is gone. See, one of the things that got me started on the journey of studying my Bible translation was the fact that my in-laws for Christmas one year, and that's probably been 30 years ago, they got me a Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. And that Strong's Concordance had in it a key verse comparison. And it had 5 different versions in there and a lot of verses. And I'd spread that thing out on the kitchen table, and I had a notepad with me, and I was going through those verses. I was Strong King James only long before I went to Landmark. They just strengthened me even further, but I was already fighting the influence in the Southern Baptist Church that we were in. But look at what it says. Is repentance important? Matthew 9:13, I am not come to call the righteous but the sinners to repentance. But look at what they omit over here in the NIV. I have not come to call the righteous but sinners. Call them to what? Supper? He didn't call them to, that's what they're saying. They're taking to repentance away. Look at the next statement. It says, for whom did Jesus die? 1 Corinthians 5:7, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And the same verse in the NIV says, 1 Corinthians 5:7, Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. For who? For what? Did he mess up? Was he sacrificed for his own sins? They don't tell you why Jesus died. It makes my blood boil when I see people, because they deceive a lot of sincere people. A lot of people don't understand that this is not just a bad translation. It's an evil translation. It steals souls. By the way, while we're on the the translation committee issues, a lot of people don't realize, but the word sodomite is found in the King James Bible 5 times. But not 1 time in the NIV. Why was that? Well, there was a lesbian by the name of Virginia Mollenkott who was on the committee. The NIV translation committee had a lesbian woman on the committee. You think she had anything to do with removing the word sodomite? All right, let's move on. It says, in whom must you believe to be saved? John 6:47 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. That's pretty plain. But look at the other side. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. Believe what? What's the problem? Hey, everybody believes in something. Everybody believes in something. That's one of these crazy concepts. All you hear people, well, it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you believe. That's stupid. If you don't believe fire is going to burn you, you might put your hand in it. It does matter what you believe. And it does matter who you put your trust in. And that's what that verse says. It says, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Was Joseph really the father of Jesus? This is the next verse. Luke 2:33, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. You do know that Joseph was not Jesus' real daddy. He was his earthly father. He was his stepfather, if you will. But it says here, look at what it says in the NIV. It says, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Did Jesus give his disciples power to heal? Mark 3:15, power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. But in the NIV it says the authority to drive out demons. Where'd the power come from? My Bible says that Jesus says in Matthew 28, he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now you say, preacher, you're making a big deal out of this. I want you to understand something. This is an area we cannot compromise. You say, why are you so divisive? Somebody wants to change the Bible. Remember the first verse we read? Every word of God is pure. Do you really think these NIV verses are pure? Do you really think they're God's words? It is a big deal. And that's why we stand where we stand. We cannot compromise the King James Bible. It's not just a good translation. It is God's translation. It is everything that God wants mankind to have. Look at the next one. It says, if it's hard to do, should we just remove it? Mark 11:26. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. And where's the verse? It's gone. Not there at all. Who is in charge? 1 Corinthians 10:28. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Last part of the verse is missing in the NIV. How must we deal with our enemies? Matthew 5:44. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And that the NIV says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. What about do good to them that hurt, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you? You're not supposed to do that? Pastor Carter put together a book that says, things that are different are not the same. You cannot call the NIV the Word of God and the King James Bible the Word of God. You can't do it. It will not work. How must we deal with our enemy? How must we deal with our enemies is that verse. And then look at what it says. Where did Jesus go? John 16:16. A little while and ye shall not see me. And again a little while and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. But they, what did they say? In a little while you will see me no more. And then after a little while you will see me. But where'd Jesus go? They leave that out. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14 is an interesting passage. I wrote an article about it in the Landmark Anchor. And this is the only place in Scripture where you find the name of Lucifer. Okay? Remember, there are three angels of God that have been named. Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer. Lucifer is the fallen angel. The fallen cherub, if you will. But look at what it says in verse 12. It says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? It says, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. I want you to think about it. Lucifer, his great sin that caused him to be cast down was he wanted to be like God. By the way, that's what the goal of the Mormons is. They want to be like God. They think they can be like God. They're going to one day have their own planet, rule their own whole planet. Now, I'm going to show you what the NIV says at this passage. It says, how are you fallen from heaven, O morning star? Hold hold your place here. It calls Lucifer here Morning Star. Now go to Revelation chapter 22. Last chapter in the Bible. Very last chapter. Chapter 22 has some interesting statements in it. But look at what it says in verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Now the NIV says the morning star fell from heaven. You want to talk about getting me mad? It ought to make all of us mad to say that Jesus fell from heaven? That's nothing short of blasphemy. You really think the Holy Spirit's going to use a book that blasphemes the name of Jesus and says that he fell from heaven? Look, by the way, while we're here in chapter 22, look at verses 18 and 19. It says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of this, the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Is it a serious thing to mess with God's words? I don't think God's going to play with it. It's a serious matter. You see, one of the things that I've found that every time I preach the Bible as it is, God gets the glory and it works for our good. But if we take the Bible and say, well, I know the Bible says this, but it really doesn't mean that, or you won't hear this preacher. If I ever get to a point where I doubt my Bible or I preach anything contrary to what the Bible says, I'll bow out. It's time to find a new preacher. Because this book is all we got. This book is the substance of what we have as Christians, and we sing the song, Standing on the Promises. Well, if you can't trust the promises, can you really stand on them? God's book is what he wants you and I to have. We have everything that he wants us to have. Now, it may not be everything we want. You ever gone and said, well, I wish the Lord would say something a little more about this area or that area? Yeah, sometimes we do. But he's given us everything we want or everything we need. And we may want a little more, but he says, not only is his grace sufficient, but his book's sufficient to teach us what we need to know. One more place. Go to John chapter 10. You hear me quote this passage pretty regular. Look at verse 27 and following. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, I want you to take note of this statement. It's a subtle change, but it's not a big change as far as the wording is concerned, but the substance, the thought changes drastically. It says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now, you may not notice it even if you read that passage in one of the bad translations. But the NIV and a number of the other bad translations say, my Father which gave them to me. Let me ask you something. Who got the best of the deal? Did Jesus get the best of the deal when he got you? Or did you get the best of the deal when you got Jesus? I wasn't an especially good prize for the Lord. Okay? I got the deal. And that's what it's talking about. Which gave them me. God gave us Jesus. Yeah, he gave us to Jesus. But that's not what this verse is talking about. Jesus is the gift for us. When he got us, he had to go to the cross. Kind of gives you what kind of gift we are. And I wanted to spend some time tonight, because I've been talking about the King James Bible, and the reason we stick with the Bible, and the only thing we're going to pass out, only thing we're going to preach from, is the King James Bible, and that's the only way we're going to be doing it. Why would we want to use a bad translation, an intentional corruption? You say you don't think they're all the modern versions are intentional corruptions. Maybe they are. Maybe they're deceived people that put the translation together, putting trust into the manuscripts that they used. But I will tell you, every single one of them, all the modern translations, number one, has man's copyrights on them. Why? So that they can get the revenue from it. It's all about the dollar. Plus, I mentioned this once before, a man named Frank Logston, who was on the translation committee for the New International New American Standard Version. And he said that he had thought they had done the research, that they hadn't done the research. And he says, I'm in trouble with God. And also, every single modern translation goes back to Westcott and Hort. And they're evil, evil translation. That's why so many of them, even the Jehovah's Witnesses with their New World Translation, they use the translation from Westcott and Hort in their 1888 Greek Revised Version. You say, why is this a big deal, preacher? Do you really want to hear what God says? Or you just want to say, well, a good translation, and this might be what God says. I'm going to tell you something. That nauseates me. If I can't preach, thus saith the Lord, I'm not going to preach. If I don't have a Bible that I can trust, I definitely, definitely wouldn't have left my job at the mines. I definitely wouldn't have moved to Missouri. I wouldn't even thought about starting a church. I can go door knocking, door to door to door to door, with the assurance that I have God's words, God's guarantee, every time I speak his word, every time I show somebody a John and Romans, I've got God's book. And you know what I feel like when I do that? I can almost feel the Holy Spirit pat me on the shoulder and say, attaboy, get them. Get them. Give them the words. Don't give them your opinion, Brian. Give them the word. And that's what it's all about. That's what this world needs. And what are we going to do? We're going to give out the word of God. We're going to share it, whether it's in tracts, whether it's in the John and Romans, whether we're knocking on doors and we quote it or whatever we do, we're going to make a difference. Because people don't need the corrupt versions. and we're not going to use them. There's plenty of churches out there. If people want to use want the NIV or the RSV or the SUV or whatever, they can go to these other churches. But when they step foot in these doors, we want them to know what book we're going to be preaching out of. In fact, I'm going to turn this off.